Lady Yehanara and I were born in the same year, 1835, at different ends of the earth. I was the son of a whiskey distiller, and she was plucked from obscurity to become an imperial concubine. My eyes were opened by the beauties of the Ulster countryside, and my ears tuned by the hymn singing of a Methodist meeting. She learned to draw, to sing, to dance, to flirt, in the mystery and splendor, the etiquette and savagery of the last and greatest Oriental court, the Forbidden City in Peking, where at night 200 concubines and 6,000 eunuchs live with only one mature male, the Son of Heaven, the Manchu Emperor of China. She became Sir Shi, the Dowager Empress, the old Buddha, who ruled for over 40 years one-third of the people of this earth. And I, Robert Hart, the one white man she trusted, the one European on whom she relied.
We present Shooting at the Moon by Robin Glendinning, with Alec McCowan as Sir Robert Hart, Jackie Chan as Sir Chi, and Bert Kwok as Prince Duan. Shooting at the Moon.
I smelt China long before I could make out its coastline. Strange, exotic, and mildly offensive, it came drifting to my nostrils on a sea mist as the brigantine Erin put into the river port of Ningbo. I was 19 years old, on my way to be assistant clerk to acting vice-consul John Meadows of the British Colonial Service at an annual salary of £200, and I could not believe my luck. A fellow passenger on board was one Horatio Lay, a gruff, confident, active Englishman who had already established a reputation in China for hard work, hard bargaining, and keeping an eye on the main chance.
Good morning, Mr. Hart.
Good morning, Mr. Lay.
Your first real whiff of the East, eh?
Yes.
Excited?
Yes. Yes, I am very excited.
Well, I hope the consular service doesn't disappoint you.
Why should it?
They're all stick-in-the-muds, Hart. No vision, no daring. Doomed to play by the rules.
Surely if we are to do good in this world, Mr. Lay, we must abide by some rules.
Do you know what that smell is, Hart? The one you were lifting your eager young nostrils to just now?
The river? The town?
It's the sweet smell of opportunity, man. A European in China could become very rich and very powerful, but he must make his own rules. The sweet scent of boundless opportunity. And you'll not find much of that working for our friend Meadows in Ningbo.
I landed in Ningbo, and Horatio Lay sailed on to Shanghai. Ningbo, with its muddy, filthy tidal reaches, jammed with junks and sampans, its streets narrowed by a multitude of shop fronts selling glazed ducks, withered frog's legs, powdered deer antler, snake glands. The sights, sounds and smells of Ningbo jostled, delighted and confused my Western senses. But not the least of Ningbo's varied surprises was acting vice-consul John Meadows.
Mr. Meadows? Mr. Meadows?
Yes?
Robert Hart, sir.
Hart?
Your new assistant clerk.
You're just in time. Hold this.
I landed from the brigantine Erin.
Any missionaries aboard?
Two or three.
No doubt the beggars are on their pious ways to me now.
You don't welcome them?
Missionaries are the one thing China can do without.
Why is that?
Opium is the other.
Oh, but surely,
you'll
sir, the
find
Lord's...
that a great deal of our time in the consulate is spent trying to keep the reverend gentleman from causing riots. And we spend much of the rest of it insisting on the rights of ships flying the Union Jack to import the devil drug. Either way, we're in the business of rotting mines, Hart, for money. Yes?
I prepared a welcome for your guests, Mr. Meadows.
Ah, yes, very good.
You'd take tea with us, Mr. Hart.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Before we're invaded by members of rival society seeking to propagate the same gospel. What do you think of her, by the way?
He means the boat, Mr. Hart.
Oh, she's lovely, really lovely.
Isn't she just? Mrs. Meadows and I plan to live out our retirement on her, don't we, my dear?
Yes, Mr. Meadows. Don't look so confused, Mr. Hart. I am Mrs. Meadows.
Confused? Why the deuce should he be confused?
Mr. Meadows, you are the dearest man, but also the simplest. I am Chinese.
Well, of course you're Chinese. He can see you're Chinese. He's not blind. What are you laughing at?
Is it not true, Mr. Hart? The simplest man on earth.
What the deuce are you both laughing at?
As I got to know Mr. and Mrs. Meadows, I began to understand why he had gone native. She was a flower of singular character and beauty. One evening, Meadows was called away and left us alone together in the garden. The scent of exotic blooms and her own fragrant presence in close proximity to mine all conspired to overwhelm me. I couldn't help myself. I had to make some demonstration of my feelings. I cut a rose and gave it to her. She smiled as she accepted it. She placed the flower in her hair.
There. One of Mr. Meadows' roses should grow nowhere else. Isn't that so, Mr. Hart?
Yes. Oh, yes, of course.
But thank you for the thought.
Oh, thank you.
And how's the language study coming on?
I'm terrible. So much is omitted that is expressed in our language, and so many words brought in merely to form a sentence. Well, I...
You find it easier to pick roses?
Yes.
Why don't you buy a concubine?
What?
Purchase a living dictionary, Mr. Hart. One who can whisper Chinese in your ear day and night, and in addition keep your house and look after your every wish.
No, I couldn't.
But you can make a good girl your absolute possession for, say, $50 to $100, and support her for as little as $3 to $4 a month. Is that within your means?
Oh, yes, but...
You find our Chinese girls good-looking, do you not?
Very good-looking.
Well, I shall make some inquiries, and Mr. Meadows will inform you when I have found a suitable candidate. I shall make sure she is of good family and very, very pretty, because I flatter myself...
But you don't understand.
What didn't I understand?
Mrs. Meadows, I was brought up a strict and believing Methodist. To purchase a concubine would not be considered morally right.
Not right? Why not right? Mr. Meadows purchased me. Are we not right?
No. No, of course you are. I have never met a couple so absolutely right.
The Emperor himself has many concubines. It is not a lowly position. Such a concubine could one day become Empress.
But to purchase, to possess...
You would treat her well, would you not? In China, Mr. Hart, parents consider sons a blessing and daughters a misfortune. You are kind, sensitive, and intelligent. What more could a young girl ask?
Love?
Ah, but you will fall in love with her. I can tell, Mr. Rosecutter. I can tell.
For 2 years, I wrestled with my conscience and continued to struggle with the language. In 1855, Horatio Lay made a sudden visit to Ningbo.
Look at the map, Hart. What do you see?
The coast of China.
Waterways, Hart. Rivers and canals. Thousands of miles of waterways. And, of course, thousands of miles of trade.
And pirates and smugglers.
Supposing a man were to run a really efficient customs service on European lines, Would the trade not increase? Would the gains not be infinite?
But you would have to work for the Chinese.
Why not? Why not if it's the only way to power, the only way to change things? Come to Shanghai and work for me. You could let me know in 6 months or so. Oh, by the way, how's the language coming on?
Only slowly, I'm afraid.
Well, hurry it up, man. Buy a concubine. Buy two.
Mrs. Meadows was right. I fell in love with my concubine. Do I still feel a sense of shame when I use that word, concubine? No, I cannot think of our 10 years together as sinful. Although she was 13 when I purchased her, I never looked upon Ayao as my new employer, Horatio Lay, would have. A dictionary with extras. To me, she was Ayao, my dutiful wife, my best teacher, my faithful friend, and my most passionate lover. And how she understood me.
Are you not playing your violin tonight, Robert?
No, I think not.
You usually do.
I am dissatisfied with my playing, my dear.
Would a wise man not banish dissatisfaction with more practice?
I find that my skill does not match my ambition, and I fear it never will.
Ah, I understand.
What do you understand?
That your ambition is so lofty that you abandon what was a simple pleasure.
Oh, look, I just feel fed up with the wretched instrument. I hate its surliness and crankiness.
But, Robert, you love music.
Oh, yes, I do.
One should never scorn what one loves.
What a delightful thought. I'll match it. Ayao, I love you so much that I have set all other loves aside. Now.
I think this is foolish talk.
Foolish? Why foolish, you silly girl? I was paying you a compliment. Young Western ladies would have sighed in satisfaction at my words.
Why?
At the sacrifice, of course. Everything abandoned for the loved one. It's very romantic.
Robert, I am not in competition with music for your affections. We are allies, the violin and I, and we both sing with happiness when we know we have your love. And we both fear that if you neglect one, you can soon neglect the other.
How would you like to move to Shanghai?
Mr. Horatio Lay?
Yes.
I will go wherever you go, Robert. But you must also take the violin.
Since then, I have never neglected my music. It was my joy in times of happiness with Ayao, and my solace in times of loneliness, upheaval, and danger.
War, Hart! A second opium war!
But why?
A Chinese-owned opium trader, commanded by a drunken Irishman and flying the British flag without any right to do so, was quite properly impounded by Chinese officials and its crew arrested. Britain, France, Russia, America, and Germany will go to war with China to defend the principle of free trade.
The morality of this did not strike a man like Lay. What he saw were opportunities. China's medieval army of archers and bannermen was swept aside by a force one-tenth its size. The emperor and his court fled north, Peking was occupied and looted, and the victorious allies dictated the peace.
Hart, we come into our own. The emperor is dead, and China's ruled by the young Empress Yahamara. I tell you this, Hart, she has guts. The moment she saw the princes gathering, she knew she had to make her move, or she'd lose the lawful succession.
Son of heaven, what is to be done about the succession to the dragon throne? Here is your son, your only son, here.
Of course, he shall succeed. And his mother, the Lady Yahanara, shall be regent.
You all heard. You all heard his words. His final words. Who dares go against his last wish? Who? Kowtow, then. Kowtow to the successor of the Son of Heaven and his regent, the Dowager Empress.
Hart, the Dowager, her Prime Minister, Prince Kung, want me to run the Imperial Customs, and I want you as my deputy. China is being carved up by the Western powers. We shall be right at the center, the bridge between East and West. Oh, my God, man, the fates have given us an empire, and we can make up the rules.
To Peking, Robert?
Yes, Ayao.
This Horatio Lay has been good for you.
Yes. Yes, he has.
And you do not like him?
Ayao, I did not tell you that I did not like him.
You did not tell me that you did.
I admire his capacity for hard work, his single-mindedness, his ability to see essential details, and all these attributes I wish to emulate.
But?
Well, I hate the way he describes China's humiliations. The easy defeat of her armies, the death of her emperor, as if the people of China had no feelings, as if they were of no account and simply did not matter.
Perhaps he thought no Chinese person was present when he discussed these matters.
Well, there wasn't, but that is not the point. It's his whole attitude that grates on me.
I was present, Robert.
What?
I served you both tea as you carved up my country in your talk.
Oh, Ayao, so you were. Why did I not ask your opinion?
No Chinaman would ask a woman her opinion, Robert.
And no white man would ask a Chinaman's.
And so, you really know how China feels?
In Peking, under the patronage of new power in the land, Prince Kung, Horatio Ley and I established the first imperial customs service that China had ever known. We became the only source of income on which the government could confidently rely. The occupying armies went home, and Prince Kung judged it safe for the court to return from exile. The procession, which was 5 miles long, moved slowly towards us in easy stages. Every inch of the road ahead was swept clear of stones, and gangs of men sprinkled the entire 700 miles to Peking with yellow chalk. 6,000 bannermen on horseback protected the front and rear. Walking at the center, accompanied by countless umbrella bearers and spearmen, were 3,000 eunuchs dressed in brightly colored silks and satins, and in the midst of these, in sedan chairs, were the imperial princesses and concubines, and the Lady Yehanara, now Sir Shi, imperial mother, empress dowager, with the infant son of heaven at her side.
What a barbaric show, Hart.
Barbaric?
What else would you call it?
Magnificent.
Oh, it's magnificent, all right. But barbarous, nevertheless. I warn you, Hart, don't get seduced. We work for the Chinese, but we don't go native. We'll never keep their respect by aping them. And if you want a piece of advice, now that we're in Peking, you'll dump that little Ningpo whore of yours.
This is our decree. Since our return to our imperial capital, having been advised in countless memorials of the ambitions of our Inspector General of Customs, the foreign devil Horatio Ley, we have removed him from his post. On the advice of our esteemed brother-in-law and Prime Minister, Prince Kung, we hereby appoint in his place Robert Hart.
You wish to see me, Prince?
Yes. Forgive me, Hart. I've never been close to a foreigner before.
But surely you and Mr. Ley...
I kept my distance from Mr. Ley.
Ah.
It was as well. His downfall could have brought mine also. He went away with a large pension. I would have lost my head.
I see.
I may be Prime Minister, Hart. I may have the ear of the Empress. But all power in China is built on a delicate balance of disparate and often shifting forces. To rule is as much an art as a science. May I look at your clothes?
Certainly.
What are these? These little slits in your jacket?
Pockets, to keep things in. Look.
Wonderful. As you see, Hart, I must carry my money, my fan, and my tobacco and my spittoon in separate pouches hung from my belt.
Prince, would you like me to order you a suit from my tailor in London? It is only a matter of taking your measurements, and it will give me the greatest pleasure to
make
you...
Thank you. No. My enemies whisper in the Empress' ear that I favour foreigners and foreign ways too much. For 2,000 years, China has not needed to deal with foreigners, they say. So why should I create a special office to deal with them now? Your own appointment was difficult enough to obtain after the embarrassment of Mr. Lei's outrageous ambitions.
Lei was right, however. China does need a navy.
But not a British Lord High Admiral.
No.
Will you make more demands, Hart? Will you push us and push us for more and more concessions?
Prince, I simply want to see China strong. And I want to see Britain her best friend.
Take away your opium and your missionaries, and we will be friends with the whole world.
Well, like you, I am not all-powerful, Prince.
That is why we must understand each other, Hart.
Yes.
The situation is this, Hart. The government is experiencing difficulty paying the reparations for so disgracefully allowing ourselves to be invaded. The customs service provides our only reliable source of income, and yet you insist that we lower the tariff.
Prince, if we simplify and lower the tariff, trade will increase and so will revenue. If we raise it, the opposite will happen. I have the facts and figures here to prove it. Look.
Oh. Yes. A This would be very useful when dealing with a Grand Council stuffed with stupid and scheming reactionaries.
Once again, we are indebted to our Inspector General for his advice. Under his patient and careful direction, our Imperial Customs continue to prosper each year, supplying an increase in revenue. We take note that none is lost in squeezes or other corrupt practices. We desire that all offices of state be run thus. We could overcome all difficulties, solve all problems, face any eventuality, if only we had 100 hearts.
And there I remained as our heart, advisor, trusted confidant even, often present at her great council in the Forbidden City. Strict court protocol forbade our meeting face to face. She listened to my small wisdom from behind a silk screen, yet strangely, our understanding of one another grew. In 1875, her son was lost to the smallpox, and in the same year, Ayal died, giving birth to our third child. Meanwhile, the foreign powers increased the pressure on the government. Prince Kung was blamed for the debacle in the Gulf of Tonkin and fell from power. As the century drew to a close with a new emperor, the Empress Dowager's nephew taking control, it would have been good to retire, to travel home, to write my memoirs. But it seems that the end of a century disturbs the minds of men and they go mad. It was then that Sir Claude MacDonald came to see me.
HMG has decided to back the young Emperor's reform program.
You might be wise to fear his rashness, Sir Claude. The government of China has always been a delicate balance of forces. Push too hard one way and you get a reaction the other.
We believe it is in the best interests of trade and our interests in the East that China comes quickly up to date. We admire his boldness.
The Emperor would be unwise to provoke the reactionaries among the princes and the eunuchs. Prince Duan is an ambitious man.
I am assured that General Yung Lu is a loyal supporter of the Emperor.
But you cannot expect him to commit suicide.
Suicide?
Yung Lu will not back a cause that he thinks is going to lose.
George Morrison, Special Correspondent, Times. Peking, 3rd of November, 1899. 100 days of reform are at an end. The young emperor's attempts to modernize his vast and archaic empire following its devastating defeat by Japan is halted by a palace coup. The emperor has been reduced to a mere figurehead, and the empress dowager, Su Shi, has resumed the regency for the third time. The empress has surrounded herself by a reactionary group of Manchu princes known as Iron Hats.
Polly Smith, American consul at Peking, May 6, 1900. Dear mother, the drought continues, and with it famine, disease, and peasant unrest. There are reports of a patriotic mass movement known as the Fists of Righteous Harmony, or Boxers. They have murdered several missionaries and made senseless attacks on the railways and telegraph. In Peking, we watch these events and pray for rain. The ambassador has sent Harriet and the children into the hills. He urged me to go with them, but you know me, Mother. The heat and dust here may be unbearable, but my holiday is up in a mere month, and I'm damned if I will miss a thing.
Do they always have to play that bloody tune?
It's the IG's band and the IG's garden party, so why shouldn't they play his tune?
The IG is an old fool, Miss Smith.
Dr. Morrison, that is unfair.
Journalists deal in truth, not in fairness.
Everyone says Sir Robert is a great man.
Naturally, you agree with everyone?
Not naturally at all, but I do. I just think he looks a little sad.
Sad? The man's as rich as Croesus. Look around you. Go in the house. It's packed with treasures.
I think he's lonely.
His wife went home 10 years ago.
You mean she left him?
No, of course not. Lady Hart just finds a villa in the south of France more congenial than this city of dreadful dust. Now he stays on in Peking because he thinks he's indispensable to the old Buddha.
The Empress Dowager.
The revenue from Hart's precious customs is propping the whole edifice up.
Well, then he is indispensable.
To keep that old harridan in power.
Dr. Morrison, first you were unfair, now you are ungallant. You men just can't stand to see a woman in power.
What would you say if I told you that the Lady Empress had invited the Boxers into the Imperial Palace?
I wouldn't believe you.
We journalists deal in truth, Miss Smith, not pleasantries.
Hart! Ah, Sir Claude, good of you to come. Is Lady MacDonald with you?
Hart, I must speak with you urgently.
Yes.
The French minister and I protested to the Tsungli Yamen this morning about the murder by Boxers of the missionary Brooks and two French priests.
Terrible business.
Throughout the interview, the entire interview, Prince Duan pretended to be asleep and deliberately snored in our faces, to the obvious amusement of his insolently grinning colleagues, I might add. The court clearly no longer cares about the lawlessness of the Boxers.
The court is in a dilemma, Sir Claude.
A dilemma? My God, I wouldn't have thought that a few thousand roving brigands poses a dilemma for any self-respecting government. A problem, yes, but not a dilemma.
Are you threatening action?
Of course we threaten action. Our nationals are being killed, murdered.
If an attempt is made to suppress the Boxers, they may be converted into an anti-dynastic movement and attack the Empress.
It is my information that the Empress has ordered Prince Duan to let the Boxers into the city to attack us.
Yung Lu's imperial troops protect the city. He will
the
not...
The Empress has sided with Prince Duan against Yung Lu and other moderates.
Sir Claude, China is just recovering from a humiliating defeat by Japan. To attack the international legations or to allow them to be attacked now would be an act of suicidal madness.
I have signaled to Tianjin for a detachment of marines to protect the legations from attack.
Forgive me, Sir Claude, but try and see such an action from a Chinese point of view.
I must see it from the point of view of our women and children.
Ordering foreign troops into the capital city will provoke the very thing which you fear.
I have to tell you that I want all foreign nationals brought within the confines of the legation compounds where they can be protected by the Marines. This, of course, includes your own staff in the customs service.
I have served the Empress and her governments for 40 years. If anything were going to happen, I would be warned.
We cannot afford to wait for warnings, Hart. We must be prepared.
Your Imperial Majesty, the members of Yi He Chuan, the Fists of Righteous Harmony, are ready to perform the rites of spirit boxing for Your Majesty's pleasure.
We thank Prince Duan for arranging this entertainment.
Your Imperial Majesty, might I humbly suggest that such a demonstration in Your Majesty's presence may be misunderstood as a sign of imperial blessing on outlaws who are even now causing unrest and destruction which threatens the throne itself.
Your Majesty, Yung Lu speaks against the Boxers for his own ends. The Boxers have always been your most loyal subjects. Their only wish is to protect the throne from the insolence and ever-increasing demands of the foreign devils.
Ignorant people are easily misled, Your Majesty.
They wish to drive out the iron centipede, which violates the graves of our ancestors and disturbs the local spirits, thus causing drought and famine.
Your Majesty, this is mere superstition.
Yung Lu cannot deny the arrogance of the bishops, who insist on being treated as if they were on a level with our governors.
Nor can Yung Lu deny, Your Majesty, that the converts or rice Christians who are drawn from the worst riffraff of the people are protected by their priests from the righteous application of Your Majesty's own laws.
Your Majesty, these are valid grievances, I admit, but consider the consequences.
Quiet, Yung Lu. We shall see what we shall see. Let their leader advance so that he may explain the rituals to us. Begin!
Your Majesty, the god Tai Lao, our great elder teacher, has prophesied that in the year of 19,000, the Jade Emperor will send down to earth from heaven his spirit soldiers to be ready to join with them in victorious battle against the foreign devils. The boxer must submit himself to discipline and learn the art of spirit boxing. If these things are done, the god will descend and make him immune to the smoke powder and the bullets of the foreign devils. Say, Your Majesty, the ritual incantation begins, and the spirit boxer who has fasted many days and nights is ready to receive the powers of the Great One. Righteousness with many supporters.
God, we need defense.
The gods of the mountain point once,
and the gate of heaven opens.
The gods of the mountain point twice,
and the gate of the earth yield entry.
See the boxer dances. See how he whirls his sword and flays his fist. I've got a short breath. His teeth become clenched. He foams at the mouth.
Stop
the mouth of the devil guns with your
most impressive, Prince Duan.
Thank you, General Yonglu.
I confess that I would not have believed it if I had not seen it.
Yonglu has changed his mind.
Your Majesty, so great was the spirit boxer's skill that I humbly beg Your Majesty to order him return and give a reprieve.
What further demonstration does Yonglu require?
On the boxer's return, I will order one of my men to shoot at him so that he may confound even the greatest doubters and prove that he is indeed invulnerable.
Yonglu tempts the god, Your Majesty.
And I am ready to bear his wrath. Send for your boxer, Prince Duan, if you dare.
Silence, both of you. If we cannot rely on magic charms, can we not rely on the heart of the people? If we lose it, how can we maintain our country? This is our decree. The members of the Fists of Righteous Harmony, commonly known as the Boxers, are of different kinds, the good and the bad. We strictly enjoin local officials, when dealing with cases of this kind, to inquire diligently which are good and which are bad, regardless of whether they are members of societies or otherwise.
Sir Claude's Marines came to Peking by train. 400 men of 8 different nationalities marched through Peking from the station to the legation, quarter bands playing, Europeans cheering. Regular Chinese troops watched sullenly from the walls of the Tartar city. As yet, there was no sign of boxers, but refugees were flocking to the legations from the countryside.
Polly! Polly!
Oh, Harriet, thank God you're safe.
We have Dr. Morrison to thank for our rescue.
Nonsense.
I tell you, Polly, he is a true knight errant.
All in a day's work.
Polly, our servants ran away. We were so frightened.
I just did what any white man would have done, Miss Smith.
Harriet, you must take the children to the legation. There are quarters for you there.
Come on, darling. We're safe now.
Were they in grave danger, Dr. Morrison?
In another hour or so, maybe.
Surely the boxers would not attack the wife of the American ambassador?
The boxers are killing anyone with a white face, Miss Smith.
How do we get Harriet and the children to the coast?
We don't.
Surely we can't be defended here, in the middle of Peking, from thousands of boxers.
More troops are on the way. Believe me, it's safer to wait.
Ah, Sir Robert, thank you for coming. You know Baron von Kettler, the German minister.
Baron.
Sir Robert?
As the only ministers in the legations with military experience, the Baron and I have been holding a council of war. We felt naturally that with your vast experience...
A council of war? There is no war.
A mere figure of speech, Sir Robert.
If you want peace, prepare for war, Sir Robert.
It may be necessary to hold the legation compound against the boxers for several days.
But there are no boxers in the city, Sir Claude.
And my first secretary has observed these brigands in the streets of the Chinese city, Sir Robert.
Drilling? Spirit boxing?
So brazen, so openly defiant are they that they display the red bands on their wrists and hands as they go about their daily business.
Baron, wearing boxer insignia has become a fashion among lower-class Chinese. It does not mean that trained bands have been let loose in the city. It would be an act of folly to allow such a thing.
And is the Empress Dowager incapable of folly, Hart?
Unfortunately, since the death of Prince Kung, I no longer know what is happening in the Forbidden City.
We are agreed, then, that we must take precautions.
Oh, certainly.
Precautions, yes.
85 acres to defend, several good walls, but along one complete side of the quadrangle, we're overlooked by the outer wall of the Tartar City.
If we could get a machine gun up there, Sir Claude.
25 officers and 400 men.
Height and a machine gun command respect. Give me height and a machine gun and I will clear the city of boxers.
But there are no boxers in the city, Baron.
Perhaps 100 volunteers from the legation staffs and civilians. 50 from the customs service, Sir Robert.
If we are attacked, we will defend ourselves.
Now, the relief force was last reported 2 days' march from Tianjin. There are 70 miles from there to Peking.
Relief force?
So, yes, 2,000 men. I reckon with the 300 or 400...
But that's an invasion.
What?
The relief force is advancing over Chinese sovereign territory. It is invading China.
This is not an invasion, Hart.
Well, what is it?
The force has a limited objective. It is coming purely to protect the legations, which are all considered foreign territory in law.
I hope the Chinese will see it that way.
Gentlemen, let me show you something.
Yes, Baron?
This magazine, which came in the last diplomatic bag, contains the print of a painting executed by Herr Nackfuss, and designed by His Imperial Majesty, Emperor of Germany. Look.
Very fine, Baron, very fine.
Now, let us take stock.
It is, as you see, an allegorical work. The powers of Europe, represented by their native genii, have been called together by the Archangel Michael, sent from heaven to unite them in resisting the inroads of Buddhism, heathenism, and barbarism in defense of the cross.
Yes.
Gentlemen, we band of brothers, if I may be permitted to quote your national poet, the happy few are in that painting.
Where?
The Archangel calls to us, Sir Cloud. It is we who must defend the cross.
Oh, I see, yes. My God, it started.
The barbarians are amongst us.
The Boxers don't have guns, Baron.
Oh, then thank God it is we who are firing at them.
I think we may be exchanging fire with Yunlu's regular troops.
Baron, we should go and see what's happening.
I am with you, Sir Cloud.
Come on, Hart. Let's see the fun.
What we need is a machine gun and the Tata wall.
It was not Boxers. We were firing at regular troops. They had been throwing stones at some Russians all afternoon, and someone on our side took a pot shot at them. That's how wars start. I resolved to see Yung Lu and sort things out.
His Excellency General Yung Lu has demonstrated once again his infinite courtesy.
Sir Robert, as Confucius says, time does not wait for us. Perhaps in the circumstances, we should waver the more elaborate formalities.
Yung Lu is right. First of all, let me say how much we all regret the unfortunate incident 2 days ago.
Sir Robert, you are a man of wide experience. Tell me, do other countries permit large detachments of foreign troops to march into capital cities to protect their embassies? Or is this deemed to be a duty of the sovereign power?
As Yung Lu knows, each embassy has a military attaché.
Do 400 marines count as military attachés?
No, but in the circumstances...
2,000 more advancing, Sir Robert? Are they also military attachés?
Perhaps Yung Lu will concede that the special conditions now obtaining in China make this a special case.
Ah, is that not what China must always concede? We are a special case. Foreign troops must be permitted to march unmolested across our land. We cannot trade unless foreigners are granted extraterritorial concessions in our ports and cities. We cannot receive missionaries unless they are treated like mandarins.
Yung Lu, these are matters for another time. This business is urgent.
Baron, I think it is time we returned.
Heinek.
Yeah?
The cart. A boxer in broad daylight.
Baron.
And the insolent rogue is sharpening a knife on the sole of his boot.
Baron, no.
I'll teach you to look at a German like that, you insolent dog.
Baron.
A boxer in full regalia.
Baron, it is only a boy.
Try and sneak into the city under our very noses, would you? Come here, you young ruffian, and I'll teach you some boxing.
Baron, no. Baron.
When this second and larger force advanced on us from Chinchin, the whole province through which they marched rose in rebellion, and a huge Boxer army barred their way.
Perhaps, Yung Lu, the new troops will do much to restore confidence in the legations, and therefore lead to better relations with the court.
But they have been forced to retreat. The Boxers loot and pillage, tear up railway line, cut down telegraph poles, and terrorize the local population. It will take weeks to restore order, and many heads will roll, Chinese heads.
If we could convince the legations that imperial troops will protect the capital from the Boxers.
Her Highness has given me and the imperial troops in my command that express order.
Perhaps if there was more evidence of this protection...
Sir Robert, if your troops shoot at mine, how can we protect you?
I am assured that our men are under the strictest orders not to shoot, unless shot at first.
What is the number of your dead?
None, thank God.
And wounded?
No one wounded either, but it is only a matter of time.
I have lost over 50 dead and 80 wounded. I have not counted the civilians. How can I argue at court for reason to prevail when an army invades our sovereign territory and our city streets are littered with bodies?
Yung Lu, our people in the legations are frightened. And frightened people...
Our people?
Yes. You see...
In the past, when you spoke of our people, Sir Robert... You invariably refer to the people of China.
As an employee of the Empress, I have always thought...
And of whom are you an employee now, Sir Robert?
Righteousness wins many supporters.
Master, the foreign devil took my son. He beat him cruelly and took him away. Master, he will not give him up, though many high persons, magistrates and mandarins ask that he do so. Master, the people are angry. Come into the city, Master, and bring the spirit boxers with you. I have burnt incense at the altars of the herd boy and the weaver god. Join the people, Master, and destroy the foreign devils!
...150 horses, mostly racing ponies. Damn shame if we have to eat them, but there it is. A few mules and a flock of sheep.
Claude?
Yes, Ethel, my dear.
Tonight's menu.
Ah, guest list.
Thank you, Claude.
Mutton?
Oh, not von Kettler again.
I'm afraid we must, my dear.
He thinks it's the Kaiser.
Now, Ethel, we must all pull together.
They say he captured a boxer in the street.
Yes.
And he keeps him locked in the German embassy.
Yes.
Well, what will he do with him?
I don't know, my dear.
I do realise, Claude, that in the circumstances, our guest list will be severely limited. But I must warn you that I draw the line at missionaries.
Oh, I think we shall be able to keep up numbers without them.
Whatever happens, we must maintain standards.
I rely on you, my dear.
Dr. Morrison! Oh, Dr. Morrison!
Miss Smith?
Who are these people?
Chinese Christians.
Why don't we let them into the compound?
They would swamp us.
But they can't stay out in the street.
I know.
We must do something.
There's an abandoned palace behind the British legation. It has spacious gardens. Perhaps they could camp out there.
Shouldn't somebody tell them?
Yes.
Will you?
Miss Smith, I'm a journalist. I have no authority.
Who does have authority?
Good question.
What's so funny?
The idea of authority in this chaos. Come on, Miss Smith, you and I'll move them into the Foo Gardens.
Dr. Morrison, you are a man of action.
You see, Sir Claude, the real trouble is that we've often treated the Chinese so badly that they do not and cannot trust
us. I hope this is not an attack on our integrity, Sir.
Consequently, we cannot rely on it.
I know the Russians and the Germans have often acted unscrupulously.
We blunder about in a fog of mutual misunderstanding, hurting each other.
The British reputation for honesty and fair play
Take this matter
is
of the boxers.
Second to none.
The air is full of rumors, but there is still no sign of boxers on the streets.
They have been shooting at us.
Those were regular soldiers who were only returning our fire. Yung Lu has assured
You have seen Yung Lu.
Yes.
That is a diplomat's business.
It must be someone's business if we're not to have a full-scale war. Sir Claude, I have been in China a long time. I've seen diplomats come and go, and they have little time to understand the people. Despite her archaic customs, her hopelessly unwieldy government, China is essentially peace-loving and prudent. Like her women, she is ill-considered, subservient, but wise. So wise.
Excuse me, Sir.
Yes,
Claude.
What
Sir
is
Robert,
it?
We believe the boxers have entered the city in large numbers. The Chinese commercial quarter is being sacked and looted. The customs houses are on fire, and all remaining personnel have fled to the legation compound.
Is this wisdom, Sir Robert? Is this your Chinese prudence, your peace-loving people?
Sir Claude, can the customs staff be billeted together as a block?
I think I can arrange that, but why?
I wish to keep my staff together. I wish it to be understood that we are not part of the legation, but employees of the Chinese government.
What does Yung Lu have to tell our council?
Your Majesty, it appears that the legations are reluctant to rely entirely on the protection of your Majesty's troops.
Your Majesty, this is an insult to your honor.
In normal circumstances, Prince Duan might be right, Your Majesty. But boxers are now looting in several parts of the city, and many Chinese merchants and mandarins have fled.
Your Majesty, the boxers were provoked by the arrogance of the foreign devils who have been killing your loyal subjects and numbers of your troops, even troops in Yung Lu's own command.
Is this true, Yung Lu?
It is with great regret that I report that certain misunderstandings have arisen.
These misunderstandings of which Yung Lu speaks have led to the death of some 500 of your Majesty's faithful and peace-loving subjects.
Which is precisely why I have met with Sir Robert Hart and discussed ways and means of avoiding unnecessary confrontations.
Can Yung Lu tell your Majesty if the German ambassador has handed back the child whom he has so cruelly kidnapped?
Sir Robert has promised to use his influence to...
The foreign devil kill your people and then promise to use their influence. Your Majesty, there is every justification for ordering an all-out assault on the legations.
Any attack on the legations, Your Majesty, will be an act of war against 11 foreign governments at once.
If Yonglu is reluctant to use imperial troops, let him stand aside and allow the Boxers to do his work for him.
May I remind Your Majesty that the Boxers have no firearms?
And may I remind Your Majesty that the Boxers have no fear?
Your Majesty, I will not stand here and be insulted
by... Your Majesty's subjects demand action!
Silence! This is our decree. Wherever the Boxers have attacked the houses and property of our people, they must be arrested and brought before the magistrates. However, if the Boxers are merely responding to the excesses of foreign troops out of love and loyalty to us, then they have our undying thanks and blessing.
Oh, Dr. Morrison, what a lovely night.
If you ignore the smell from the sewage canal, Miss Smith.
I was looking at the moon.
The sewage canal is rather less remote.
How do you assess our present circumstances?
That very much depends on the mind of the old Buddha.
Surely you can't believe the Empress wants us all dead.
Oh, she's ruthless enough.
Just badly advised, perhaps.
She chose the advisers, Miss Smith. Don't stand out in the open. There are snipers on the Tartar wall. Good night.
Good night.
Miss Smith?
Who's that? Oh, Sir Robert. What are you doing in the dark?
Ah, like you. I was looking at the moon.
Do you know what's going on? No one will tell me. What is happening?
I don't know, Miss Smith.
Surely if anyone knows, you...
Not now. I don't know anything now.
Forgive me, Sir Robert.
I have been horribly wrong in something about which I express the utmost confidence, Miss Smith.
The Empress Dowager?
I feel personally betrayed.
Oh. What was that?
I dread to think.
It sounded like a woman.
Or a boy.
Oh, my God, Sir Robert!
Did you hear that?
Morrison, what is it?
Von Kettler. He's beating that boy again.
Oh. I was assured that the boy was to be returned.
Von Kettler may be a diplomat, Sir Robert, but he does not like bowing to diplomatic pressure.
Oh, my God!
Another nasty smell from the canal.
Your Majesty?
Prince Duan?
Your Majesty's ever-watchful Secret Service has recently acquired a document prepared by the Foreign Devils containing the demands they are to make for changes in Your Majesty's government and policy.
Might I inquire, Your Majesty, about the provenance of this document so recently acquired by Prince Duan and unknown to anyone else?
Yonglu, let us hear the document.
First, foreigners are to be given the right to collect all Chinese taxes.
This is outrageous.
If it is true.
Quiet, Yonglu.
A second, the freeing of the emperor.
Who is so impious to say the emperor is a prisoner?
Third, the restoration of all his former powers.
How dare they?
Fourth, the reintroduction of all the so-called reforms which Your Majesty wisely brought to a halt with your third regency.
This is unforgivable.
Your Majesty, may I speak?
Speak if you dare, Yonglu.
I must speak when your throne is in jeopardy.
Are these arrogant demands not a threat to our throne?
If they are true, think, Your Majesty, who is more likely to be the author of this document? The members of the legations or those in Your Majesty's council who wish the legations to be attacked?
Is Yonglu suggesting that I forged the document?
Yonglu?
Of course, I am not suggesting that the worthy Prince Duan would do such a thing. The noble prince's loyalty and fervor is well known.
A message, Your Majesty! A message from the Eastern Army!
Speak!
The foreign devils have come from the sea and attacked the forts at Taku. The forts, all the surrounding countryside, and the city of Tianjin are in the enemy's hands. Many of Your Majesty's garrison have been killed.
Your Majesty, this is an act of war.
If it is true.
Yonglu likes to hide behind an if. Let him say whether it is true or not true.
Silence! This is our decree. Our territories have been invaded and occupied. We are therefore at war with all the foreign powers. A letter will be sent from the Tsungli Yamen to each of the legations and Sir Robert Hart, demanding that they depart the city within 24 hours and leave our empire as speedily as possible thereafter. General Yonglu will guarantee them safe conduct to the coast.
Ah,
That's a welcome sound. That'll make the beggars run. 17th of July. All-out attack on legations expected daily. China will then be at war with all the great powers at once, and she will be at war by the choice of the Empress Dowager and her gang. In their colossal ignorance and conceit...
Hey, Morrison, come and see the fun. Von Kettle and his merry men have put a machine gun up on the Tartar wall and they're firing into the Chinese city.
Lance Corporal Anhai?
Yes, Highness.
You know who I am.
Prince Duan, Highness.
I am not your commander, you understand?
My commander is General Yung Lu, Highness.
But I have authority of the Empress herself to offer you promotion and 70 tiles of silver if you carry out a certain task. Are you willing, Anhai?
Yes, Highness.
You know the German von Kettler?
He who kidnapped the boy, Highness.
And also he who shoots dead our soldiers and our people.
I know him, Highness.
They tell me you are a good shot, Anhai.
They tell you the truth, Highness.
Take up your post by the legation road and wait until the Baron emerges.
Gentlemen! Yes, gentlemen. I have to inform you that the ministers of the legations and Sir Robert Hart have each received a formal letter from the Tsungli Yamen requesting that we leave Peking within 24 hours and promising us safe conduct to Tianjin. We have requested the Yamen for 100 carts and horses. Not all at once, please, please, please. The Chinese have guaranteed our safety. Naturally, we have requested the Yamen to provide us with detailed information as to the number of troops, the name of their commander, and...
Sir Claude?
Dr. Morrison?
If you and the other ministers place such confidence in the Chinese guarantee, why do you have your legation guards here? If we march out of here, it'll be in a column, say 1 or 2 miles long. Difficult, if not impossible, for us to defend. The column will proceed at the speed of the slowest cart and the weakest child. No one knows what's happening outside the city. Will a Chinese army, however commanded, protect us from an attack by Boxers? Will they fire on their own people?
I assure you, Dr. Morrison, no one will leave until we've received adequate assurances from the Tsungli Yamen.
Sir Claude!
All these matters have been taken into
careful consideration.
Yes, Miss Smith, what is it?
I wish to speak.
Miss Smith, if you wish to join the other ladies in the British legation, I shall be going there once this meeting has ended.
And the men have taken all the decisions.
Yes.
Well, I wish to speak before that.
Very well.
If we leave Peking, what will happen to the Chinese Christians who sought our protection?
That is not our affair, Miss Smith.
Will they not be slaughtered?
We are not responsible for the fate of our doubtful co-religionists.
There are 2,000 men, women, and children camping in the Fu Gardens, Sir Claude.
We can do nothing for them.
Sir Claude?
Dr. Morrison, you have already spoken.
And you have already decided, Sir Claude, decided for all of us without asking our opinion.
Someone has to decide, Dr. Morrison. And
everyone here, engineers, tradespeople, missionaries, all of us are in favor of waiting for the relief force. You diplomats decide to leave Peking. The death of every man, woman, and child in this huge, unprotected convoy will be on your heads, and your names will go down in history forever as the wickedest, weakest, and most pusillanimous cowards who ever lived.
I assure you, Dr. Morrison, no one is going to do anything until we have had a reply from the Tsungli Yamen.
Was last reported to be only 2 days' march from Peking.
That was 5 days ago.
Excuse me, Sir Claude.
Yes, Sir Robert.
The relief force has, in fact, retired to Tianjin.
What? I thought we had agreed that this should not be made public, Hart.
And I think that everyone should now be aware of the facts, as they are, not as we suppose them or would like them to be.
What do you advise, Sir Robert?
I think we should sit tight and wait.
But if the relief force has retired...
There is another fact we should face.
What's that?
We have not yet been attacked. Parts of the city have been looted. Chinese Christians have been slaughtered. But there has as yet been no direct assault on the legations. And I believe that if we hold our fire and do not provoke the regular troops, they will not attack us, nor will they allow the Boxer bands to approach.
A machine gun on the Tata Wall will deal with the Boxer bands. Yeah.
Nor do I believe that it is in the interests of the Dowager Empress.
A machine gun and height commands respect. Yeah.
We must wait for the Tsungli Yaman's reply to our latest request.
Why don't you go there and ask them?
The ministers of the legations cannot go unbidden to the Yaman and sit and wait for the princes to make up their minds. It would be undignified. And it is my experience that the white man is doomed once he loses face and dignity.
Out east, Sir Claude. The white man is doomed once he shows timidity. Once we show a yellow streak, we will be treated as yellow men. These people respect the very thing their own leaders never give them. Boldness, action, courage. That is the way to deal with Boxers. And that, I have proved it. I, Baron von Kettler, in the name of the Emperor of Germany, Kaiser Wilhelm II, will go to the Tsungli Yamen, and I will sit there till the princes come, if I have to sit there all night.
He shot the Baron!
Madness.
This shot has rung round the world.
Legations besieged by Chinese troops and Boxers.
Confusion. Chaos.
The calculated, unprovoked murder of the representative of the German...
Peking Cathedral cut off. Revenge. Bishop, priest and nuns and 3,000 Chinese Catholics in extreme danger. Stop.
Why was I wrong?
Just as the Huns under Attila gained a reputation which still lives in the historical tradition, so may the name of Germany...
Nightly furious fusillade. All quarters. Bullets. Thousands.
The
Stop.
Empress owed me a warning.
All other nations have agreed that you, Count von Waldersee...
43 men killed. 65 wounded. Civilians dead, five. All nationalities.
After
Stop.
All these years, she owed me that.
Since the relief force's failure to reach Peking with a small force 3 weeks ago, we must assume that we shall meet considerable opposition. But we now have assembled a force of some 16,000 men of eight nations.
I estimate we need 30,000.
40,000.
50,000.
100,000.
Gentlemen, this is a rescue operation, not an all-out war.
General Gaisley, there is a difficulty.
What?
Well, our advance may well cause the total collapse of the dynasty and China itself.
We can't help that.
In which case, the nation with the biggest force will get the biggest share.
Surely our priority is the relief of the legations.
Well, France proposes that all the forces be strictly equal.
The Germans aren't even here yet.
On the other hand, it is not absolutely necessary to wait for anyone who is not actually here.
Gentlemen... Uh-huh. The British Expeditionary Force will march from Tientsin at dawn tomorrow.
Sir Robert?
Miss Smith.
Once again, we meet by moonlight.
Yes.
You like this place, don't you?
I can remember standing here, under the moon, many years ago. I had such high hopes then.
Well, Sir Robert, you have certainly fulfilled them.
No.
No, but you have achieved so much.
Oh, I thought so once. I thought I was changing the world, making history. It's an illusion, Miss Smith. Like the apparent proximity of the moon. Never stay long enough in one place to see your labors ruined.
Your wife must be very worried about you.
My wife?
Lady Hart.
Oh, yes, I dare say she is.
When did you last see her?
10 years ago.
10 years?
Oh, we correspond regularly.
Forgive me, Sir Robert, but if I were your wife, I would think you did not care for me at all.
Oh, but I'm proud of Hesse and the children. And she of me, I think. Especially since my knighthood. I fancy that even a village doctor's daughter was not incapable of imagining the title of lady in front of her name.
I should think it would be enough for a village doctor's daughter to stand with her young husband under the moon in Peking.
Oh, I didn't stand here with her.
Oh, Sir Robert, don't ruin the story. You weren't on your own, were you?
With a former wife.
Forgive me for asking, but was your wife Chinese?
I thought all that had been forgotten.
Where is she now?
Dead. She died in childbirth.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Aya was one of the most amiable, lovable, and sensible people imaginable. And I was a young fool.
Your Majesty, the Northern Cathedral and all foreign devils and secondary devils within have been destroyed by Boxers.
And the Southern Cathedral?
Alas, it still resists, Your Majesty.
Why is this so, Prince Duan?
I cannot tell, Your Majesty, but
I can explain, Your Majesty.
Yong Lu.
Unlike the Northern Cathedral, which was unprotected, the Southern Cathedral is held by armed Japanese marines.
The dwarf foreign devils have rifles, Your Majesty, and the Boxers have none.
Did not Prince Duan inform Your Majesty that the Boxers were invulnerable?
But
this is our decree. The Boxers shall be drafted into the army so they may be properly armed.
Your Majesty's wisdom is all
Your
prevailing.
Your Majesty's loyal troops may well resent such
a... The Boxers shall then leave the city to join the Army of the East, so that they may display their loyalty in resisting any advances from Tianjin on our capital.
But Your Majesty...
Imperial troops, under Yong Lu, will complete the destruction of the legations and the Southern Cathedral.
Claude?
Ethel, my dear.
Tonight's menu.
Ah, mutton. I thought we'd eaten the sheep earlier.
Foraging party liberated another flock.
Good for them. Now, let's see. Game again. I'm not sure, Ethel, that those sparrows were a terribly good idea.
Jackdaws this time.
Good God.
Apparently they taste like grouse.
Grouse, oh, grouse. Ah, soon be the 12th, you know. What I wouldn't give to be home in Scotland on the 12th. Oh, grouse.
Guest list?
40 again, I think. Still no Sir Robert Hart, I'm afraid.
Why ever not?
Prefers to mess with his staff.
You know, I don't think he's quite a gentleman.
Been in China far too long.
Done him no good at all.
By the way, that American woman's been causing trouble again.
Miss Smith?
Says there's insufficient food for the converts in the Foo Gardens. Says they're eating roots and bark.
Oh, dear, we can't have that.
Quite.
The whole place will be dug up in no time.
She wonders if we could spare some rice and flour.
Absolutely not.
A bag or two, I thought.
But we don't know how long the siege may last.
Quite.
Why don't some of you gentlemen bag some carrion crows and magpies for them?
Good idea, Ethel. Be like the 12th after all.
And from now on, we'll save the leftover bits of ponies and sheep.
Quite.
Miss Smith! Miss Smith!
What is it?
Dr. Morrison's been shot.
Oh, my God, no!
We went to the Foo and tried the war. Morrison was in the lead when the snipers got him.
God, is he bad?
Well, we don't know yet.
I sent him there. I sent him. Polly Smith, you little fool.
Yung Lu, Her Majesty is most displeased at the apparent silence of your guns. She asks me daily what precisely her commander-in-chief is doing. I tell her that General Yung Lu is probably engaged in some clever stratagem to outwit the foreign devils.
Prince Duan is too kind. May I see Her Majesty?
Her Supreme Highness is engaged in a week's theatricals with the princesses and palace eunuchs. Even now, she plays the chambermaid, and the chief eunuch is her master. If you listen, you will hear her sing of her unrequited love. Is it not beautiful?
Prince Duan, the world will not wait for songs, no matter how beautiful. I must see Her Majesty now.
Yung Lu knows well how Her Majesty hates these annual festivals to be interrupted. But if he wishes to give me a message...
Prince Duan knows well how to keep his royal mistress in ignorance.
Don't be too bold, Yung Lu.
Her Majesty's Commander-in-Chief must know Her Majesty's policy towards the legations.
But Her Majesty has already stated her policy in this regard.
Her Majesty has stated two policies. Defend the legations and attack the legations.
Yung Lu must choose.
I choose. Suppose I choose the wrong one.
Now that will be Yung Lu's misfortune.
It will be the Empire's misfortune, the dynasty's misfortune. You play with fire, Prince Duan, and he who plays...
Ah, I see you wish me to interrupt the sacred theatricals and to inform Her Majesty that her commander-in-chief is in two minds. Yes?
No.
Ah.
I will attack.
When?
Tonight.
Her Majesty will await the sound of your guns. May the gods go with Yung Lu and the foreign devils be carrion for the crows by morning.
General Gaisley.
Yes, Captain?
They're running, sir.
Thank you, I can see that, Captain.
Well, shall we follow, sir?
No, Captain, our job is to get to Peking.
Look out, sir!
What?
Sir! Are you all right, sir?
Yes.
Is he dead?
Quite dead. More young devils and older than my boy Harry. Hope no one ever orders him into a useless charge.
Anything wrong, sir?
No, Captain. Things couldn't be better. Except for the odd brave gesture, the Chinese melt before us. My compliments to the French and Russian commanders. We shall advance.
I think they already have advanced, sir.
And the Japanese?
Out in front, leading by a mile, sir.
Right, Captain. Get your Sikhs and Rajputs from behind those hedges and onto the road to Peking.
Yes, sir.
I didn't want a race, but by God, if there's going to be one, I don't mean to lose it.
Well, at first I thought it was the final assault. And then I realized that despite the racket, all the fire was going upwards into the sky.
That's like a fireworks display.
I think it is. A wonderful fireworks display.
But why?
It's for show.
To frighten us?
To convince someone else that we are under attack.
How odd.
I'll tell you something else that's odd.
Yeah.
There are no longer any boxers on the streets. They've all gone. Vanished.
Gosh, just look at that. They're shooting at the moon, Sir Robert. They're shooting at the moon.
Something very strange is happening, Sir Claude.
The Empress is trying to kill us.
But why haven't we been swept away?
Because the Chinese are damn bad shots.
But just one surprise attack along the whole perimeter.
Fired millions of rounds in the air last night.
Don't you see that either someone is trying to preserve us, or they are merely waiting for the right moment to put us to the sword?
Dr. Morrison. Dr. Morrison.
Where am I?
It's all right. You've been asleep.
Am I wounded?
In the thigh. The bullets have been removed. Harriet and I are nursing you.
What's that noise?
The English are playing cricket.
No, the other one. They're rumbling.
It's the morphine, Dr. Morrison. You're delirious.
No, I hear it.
I say, you chaps... The Chinks are advancing. Dozens of carts rolling this way, packed with bombs.
Hold your fire. Every shot must count. Hold your fire. The order. Aim low so that you get their legs.
Those aren't bombs.
What?
In the carts, they're not bombs. They're watermelons.
Watermelons, Claude?
Cartloads of them.
From the Dowager Empress.
And flour and rice and vegetables.
But why, Claude? Why?
Perhaps she thought our diet was getting a bit limited, my dear. You know her reputation for a sumptuous table.
But she's been trying to kill us all.
She's inscrutable. The Chinese call her the old Buddha, you know.
Oh, was there some kind of message?
For Sir Robert Hart.
Why not for you?
I can't say.
It's a calculated insult, Claude. You should protest.
Watermelons, Ethel.
You're too soft with that man, Hart. He's an employee of the Chinese, and he thinks like a Chinese.
Ethel, my dear, let's make it a gala tonight.
From Her Imperial Highness, the Empress Sir Shi, to our Hart.
We have commanded our General Yung Lu to deliver these gifts to the legations as a token of our earnest wish to live at peace.
I knew that they were undecided about our fate.
If the soldiers in the legations will cease shooting at our men, who have surrounded the legations for their own protection, our men will not return fire. We ask you, Sir Robert, to negotiate a permanent peace between the foreign ministers and the Zhongli Yamen. If the legations would agree to leave the capital, their safety will be guaranteed and much further trouble and death avoided.
Sir Robert, you have always served us and our empire with diligence and shrewdness in the past. Do not fail us at this difficult hour.
What does Prince Duan advise?
Your Majesty, I have replaced those counselors who advocated the sending of fruit to the foreign devils instead of bullets.
The fruit has stopped the foreign bullets, unlike the charm of the spirit boxes.
Does Yonglu still oppose me?
I oppose the policy because I fear it will lead to the foreign devils crushing us.
And you dare to interrupt us with these fears? Is this loyalty, Your Majesty?
Prince Duan, we can guarantee Yonglu's loyalty and compliance to our new policy, which is now in the capable hands of your honorable self. Is this not so, Yonglu?
Yonglu bows to your majesty's will.
Yonglu is wise.
Such wisdom is easy, Prince Duan.
This is our decree. Prince Duan will direct the final and victorious assault on the foreign devils of the legations.
And may matters end with his glorious victory, your majesty.
Where else might they end?
Alas, Prince Duan, Yonglu has no gift for prophecy.
The anti-foreign, anti-Christian movement of the so-called Boxers was from the outset fostered by the Empress Dowager and by the ignorant reactionaries she selected as her advisers.
What is it you're writing, Dr. Morrison?
The definitive account of the siege for the Times.
We are most unlikely to survive. The Chinese are shooting in earnest now.
Miss Smith, you get a chance to go through a siege only once in a lifetime, and by God, you need to make something out of it.
I do believe you are as wonderful a hero as could be found anywhere.
My God, that was close.
Oh, someone's been hit. I'd better run and see.
Well, Sir Robert, if the Empress is offering peace, what is the meaning of this gunfire?
Forgive me, Sir Claude, but I did point out that the actions we took would play into the hands of those who wanted war. We could now encourage our friends at court, of whom Yonglu is the chief, if we offered peace.
How? How do you offer peace?
A flag of truce.
A flag of surrender, you mean?
No. They sent us melons.
The first sign of weakness will invite an all-out assault, an assault in irresistible numbers.
Sir Claude, if I were to communicate on behalf of the legations with General Yonglu...
Sir Robert, you are in the British legation and not in the customs house. This is British territory and not Chinese. I am running this show and not you. Good day.
General, the Russians are preparing to assault the gate to the west, and the French have moved to east.
Good. Unlimber your six-pounders and knock a hole in the gate in front of us.
Yes, sir.
And have your men on standby for the assault.
There goes the gate, sir.
Forward the seats and transports! Advance!
Oh, look! The Chinese are running.
Yes, by Jove.
Oh, we're going to be saved. Oh, Claude, what does one wear?
Wear?
To welcome our troops.
Oh, you look lovely, my dear. But take a parasol. Never go out in the sun without a parasol.
My dear. Do you not think that perhaps as senior diplomat, you should put on something more formal?
No, I feel that a jacket and tennis flannel show a certain confidence and sang-froid. Don't you?
Oh, Claude, you're wonderful.
I rely on you, my dear.
The legations are straight ahead, General. There's an open ditch away to our right, sir, and it leads straight to the legation quarter.
Excellent cover, Captain. Get the men into it.
On the right, Rajputs! On the right!
We trust the gunfire we hear all morning means the end of the siege.
I fear it does, Your Majesty.
You fear it, Yonglu?
Yes, Your Majesty.
You have always opposed the policy of crushing the foreign devils. But it is especially dangerous to oppose it now when it nears completion.
we warn you
Your Majesty, the firing that you hear is not the gunfire of our troops, but the gunfire of the relieving force.
What?
Your Majesty?
Is this true, Prince Duan? Are the foreign devils at the gates of the city?
Your Majesty, you must flee.
Flee?
Majesty, our troops run away. The Boxers are scattered. The foreign devils are in the city. You must save yourself and the dynasty.
Prince Duan, you promised us.
Your Majesty, I think the time has come to face...
Quiet, Yong Lu.
No, Your Majesty, I cannot keep quiet.
Once again, you defy us.
Your Majesty is in grave danger. I must speak.
Prince Duan.
Your Majesty, it pains me to tell you that we have been defeated. The Boxers have fled. Your armies melt like snow before the firepower of the foreign devils. To save the dynasty and China, you must flee.
40 years ago, the court fled before an army of foreign devils.
Your Majesty, I still command some loyal troops.
Even though I was the mother of the heir to the Son of Heaven, I was completely alone amidst all the shouts and chaos.
They will cover your retreat, I guarantee it.
I remember the rumbling of carts and the running of feet.
We will go north, to Manchuria.
My only companions were my little dogs, who yelped around me for fear.
If we move at once, we will be safe.
The eunuchs came and pulled them from me and threw them down a well.
This way, Your Majesty.
They said the foreign devils would eat them.
Take her, Prince Duan. Please, take her.
Your Majesty, please.
I think we're here, sir.
Thank God, Captain. There's at least one white woman left alive.
I don't know who you are, but I'm so glad to see you.
General Gaisley, ma'am.
I'm Lady Ethel MacDonald, and that's my husband over there in the tennis flannels. I don't know who you are, but I'm so pleased to see you.
Captain Strutt, ma'am. 7th Rajput.
Ah. Oh, Dr. Morrison, we're saved, we're saved.
And what a story we've got, Miss Smith, what a story.
George Morrison.
I shall be the most famous journalist in the world.
George Morrison, I am going to kiss you.
Why not, Miss Smith, why the hell not?
I don't know who you are, but I'm so pleased to see you.
Thank you, Mimsdam.
Sir Claude MacDonald, I presume.
Good to see you, General.
I'm glad we were in time, sir.
Who are these marvellous chaps of yours?
1st Sikhs and 7th Rajputs.
By God, isn't it wonderful that our people got here first?
I don't know who you are, but I'm so pleased to see you.
Honoured, Memsahib.
I don't know who you are, but I'm so glad to see you.
The Southern Cathedral was relieved today and all Peking is in Allied hands. The French and Russian flags fly from those parts of the city where the most loot is available. The Russian soldiers destroy everything in their search for silver. Porcelain, silk, scrolls, books, jade are trampled underfoot.
From General Gaisley, Peking. The GOC is aware of the difficulty in restraining the unmilitary practice of looting in a force of mixed nationalities.
The Japanese are digging for silver in the grounds of the big palaces, where it's believed the fleeing princes have hidden their wealth.
The GOC has therefore felt obliged to countenance the systematic collection of articles, which may be in unoccupied houses, for the benefit of the whole force.
The humiliation and shock to China is profound. I fear it may be a fatal blow, to be followed by revolution and disintegration. What the Chinese feared most was that their civilization, their culture, their ancient shrines and seats of learning would be destroyed by the foreign barbarians. Daily, the soldiers of the great powers confirm these fears by looting and raping at will.
Morrison, you remember the big palace at the end of the Fu Gardens, the night you were wounded?
Prince Su's palace.
Yeah, no one's touched it yet. Are you on?
I'm too damn lame.
Never mind. I'll cut you in.
Yesterday, a whole family of Chinese committed suicide when their daughters were repeatedly raped. Father, mother, uncles, aunts, cousins, servants, all hanging from the rafters like bats. The fallen chairs on which they stood, scattered beneath them.
The court is in exile. The Boxer leaders have either committed suicide or escaped to Manchuria. Amongst these is Prince Duan. Those Boxers who have fallen into Allied hands will be executed. This is done by a Chinese swordsman.
National sentiment runs through all classes in China. It is the most powerful force. The one feeling that is universal in China is pride in Chinese institutions and contempt for the foreigner. In the future, 20 million or more Boxers, armed, drilled, disciplined and animated by patriotic, if mistaken motives, will make residence in China impossible for foreigners, will take back from foreigners everything foreigners have taken from China, will pay off old grudges with interest, and will carry the Chinese flag and Chinese arms into many places that fancy will not suggest today. In 50 years' time, there will be millions of Boxers in serried ranks and war's panoply at the call of the Chinese government. There is not the slightest doubt of that.
I say, Morrison, bombe de glace international. Not bad, eh?
When are you off?
End of the week.
What about your porcelain and jade?
I've hired 6 extra carriages.
If I hadn't been hindered by this damn leg, I'd have made a fortune like the rest of you.
Oh, you didn't do so badly.
Not as well as Lady Ethel MacDonald. Look, she's wearing the Empress's pearls.
I've had a letter from that Polly Smith. She's writing a book about her experiences.
Isn't everyone?
Yours will be the best.
If I ever get round to it. The newspaper's a hard taskmaster. Now they want full coverage and comment on the return of the old Buddha and the court to Peking. Times readers just can't get enough of eunuchs and concubines. And, as far as the old harridan herself goes, well, the whole world loves a monster.
For 40 years, I had been barred from the presence of the Empress. But now, though she lived, the dynasty was dying and protocol more relaxed. She looked younger than her 70 years. Oh, her face was lined with each one of those years and the troubles it had brought. But it was still firm and strong, and she had piercing eyes. Eunuchs stood in attendance. Princesses simpered and smiled and nodded. There was a vacant chair beside the imperial throne, but it was some time before I realized that the Empress wished me to sit there on the same level as herself, an honor never accorded to prince or governor or mandarin or foreign diplomat. We chatted. I used the word deliberately, for we talked for all the world as if, after 40-odd years in her service, I had dropped in for a cup of tea. She inquired after my health. I inquired after hers. She smiled and seemed to be enjoying the inconsequential pleasantries, until she asked,
"And how is your house, Sir Robert? I hope, unlike ours, you found it unmolested."
"Your Majesty, I no longer live there."
"But why ever not? It was your pride and joy. Prince Kung often told us of its splendors and your delight in them."
"I regret to inform your Majesty that my house was destroyed in the riots that took place in the recent..."
"Destroyed?"
"I am afraid so, your Majesty."
"Oh, Sir Robert, I am sorry. I am so very sorry. Why was I not told? Why? Why did none of you tell me? Do none of you care that your Empress is embarrassed? You need not bow in guilty silence to escape my wrath."
"It is nothing, your Majesty. Many people lost more, much more. Why, you yourself lost..."
"Oh, but I am impotent, impotent. And in ignorance, always in ignorance. It all came about through ignorance, Sir Robert. Ignorance and stupidity, misplaced loyalty, bad advice, treachery... And always the foreign devils battering at our gates, demanding more and more. Oh, Sir Robert, who will understand our dilemmas, our struggles, our misfortune? Who will understand?"
"Who will understand?" I tried to explain in my book some of the complexities and difficulties under which the Empress and her vast, unhappy, unlucky country had laboured as the new century was born. But I think few read my words, and less have paid them a moment's attention. The story of the great siege has been told by other participants in the heroic vein. My departure from China was not as unnoticed as my book. Manchu princes, governors, and mandarins assembled. The diplomatic corps turned out in force to see me off. My own customs staff lined the station platform, and my beloved band played. Music has always been my solace. My darling young Ayao was right. Never neglect those things which you truly love. In moments of loss, grief, sadness, they will remain with you, steadfast. Oh, how the lads played. How they played.
In Shooting at the Moon by Robin Glendinning, Sir Robert Hart was played by Alec McCowan, and Hart Jr. was Paul Panting. Horatio Lay was Don McCorkindale. Meadows, Lyndon Gregory. Mrs. Meadows, Lucy Sheen. Ayao, Sarah Lamb. Sir Claude MacDonald, Neville Jason. Lady MacDonald, Tina Gray. Morrison, David Jarvis. Polly Smith, Elaine Claxton. Harriet, Deborah Berlin. Von Kettler, Peter Whitman. Heinrich, Tom Bevan. The Empress Dowager Sir Chi was Jackie Chan. Prince Kung, David Tse. Yung Lu, David Yip. And Prince Duan, Bert Kwok. The music was composed by Neil Brand and performed by Neil Brand and Sonia Slaney. Shooting at the Moon was directed by Owen O'Callaghan.